A window, he said, open to the winds that blow across our time and place. But time is subtle and has no definition. And there is no instrument so precise as to determine at what instant the present moment slips into the past. And just to say it is now is to say it was. It was 1935. The New Year's Eve parties the midnight that year was born were a little gayer than they had been for a while. The Depression, that shapeless, dark, monolithic burden, was slowly being lifted. There were more jobs, and the huge, cigar-like stacks at Pittsburgh, smokeless for so long, were spewing out their black clouds again in some symbolic gesture of prosperity. 1935, April 1st, 27 years ago tonight, and the long famine time was coming to an end. There were more shoes that year than before. More houses built. The time of troubles was coming to an end. And the defeat was no defeat at all, they were saying. Just a momentary slip. Everyone caught the mood. Thomas Wolfe would catch it and put it into words.
It is the place of flares and steamings on the tracks, and the swing and bob and tottering dance of lanterns in the yards. It is the place of dings and knellings, and the sudden glare of mighty engines over sleeping faces in the night. It is the place of the terrific web and spread and smoldering, the distant glare of Philadelphia, and the solid rumble of the sleepers. It is also the place where the Transcontinental Limited is stroking 80 miles an hour across the continent, and the small, dark towns whip by like bullets. And there is only the fan-like stroke of the secret, immense, and lonely earth again.
...1935, an odd time, really. The flamboyance of the 20s had long since died away, and the insistent imperatives of the war years were not yet manifest. 1935, April 1st. Another spring was creeping up from Texas and the Carolinas. Atlantic City registered a high of 60 degrees that day. It was 84 in both Charleston and New Orleans, and the future was not yet come. It was duly reported in the New York Times that day that Pan American Airways was beginning construction on a radio tower on the island of Oahu. It would send out a beam to help guide planes across the Pacific. And there was a refueling station mentioned, a little place out there somewhere called Pearl Harbor.
Look, the mighty country we have. Look at our factories and mills and railroads and roads. Who built them? The immigrants built them. When I was a boy out west, I saw the first...
And in New York, one of the most fabulous mayors in a long list of fabulous mayors was creating the legend that would make him unforgettable.
Mexicans and Italians. $1.25 a day, working 10 and 12 hours. And if he was injured, he lost his job. Who do you suppose built this country? Immigrants. And there's still a great deal to do.
Richard Himber's orchestra was on this radio station at this very time 27 years ago. And radio was achieving an excellence that would be climaxed a few years later with its news coverage of the war. An excellence that would be defeated when it was demonstrated that a picture could be transmitted also. Still, it was a glorious time. You had a table model in the living room that year, and any night you could hear wondrous things. You could hear the lovely, graceful Eleanor Powell go into her dance. Then there was Phil Baker.
Let's look at these want ads, Bot.
Oh, Mr. Baker. Well, here's one that might suit me.
Yeah.
It says,
Are you ambitious?
Well?
Sell Buller brushes.
Yeah.
Call on housewives whilst husbands are at work. Golden opportunity.
Yeah. That's good. Earn while you learn, I say.
Oh, I say. Oh. Oh, Mr. Baker. Oh, I say, listen to this.
What?
Says, wanted, office girl. Must be attractive, tall, blonde, and sociable.
Mm-hmm.
Slight knowledge of typing.
Yeah.
Apply Giltmore Arms, apartment 28. Bring friend.
Where's that? Bring friend. Hey, that's nice work.
And one night, Beatrice Lilly came into a studio and played a part she had done in a Broadway show. It starts when she walks into a very posh store and says,
Shop? Shop? Can't I get a little service?
Here is our Mr. Peters, madam. Perhaps if you was to ask him.
May I be of any assistance, madam?
Well, I wonder if you could tell me if my order has gone off yet. I gave a large order for double damask dinner napkins.
I beg your pardon, madam.
I want 2 dozen dizzen
damask. Two dozen.
Didn't I say 2 dozen?
You said dozen, madam, but I understood what you meant. 2 dozen. In other words, a double dozen.
That's it. A double dozen dabble damask dizzy knickers.
Pardon me, madam. You mean a double dozen of dummer damask dinner napkins.
Double damask, sir.
I said double damask. It's dinner napkins you require, madam.
Dapper ninkins, sir.
Nippy Dankins.
Allow me, madam. If I may say so, we get confused, spitting us up, as it were. But the full order is 2 dozen dibble dumbest ninner dupkins.
You'll excuse me, sir. You mean 2 dumb and dabble dimmick dizzy napkins.
I don't want dizzy napkins at all. I want 2 dizzle damn dizzy.
No, 2 dazzle dumb and dizzy.
2 dozen, sir. 2 dozen dimmel dazzy.
2 damn dizzy double dinner damn.
Madam, please, your language.
Oh, cool. Give me 2 dozen doilies.
April 1, 1935. April 1st, the newspapers warn against calling the zoo and asking for Mr. Fox. Huey Long attacks President Roosevelt in a speech, and it was announced with pride and growing concern that there were over 24 million cars on the country's roads. 1935, and an American airline was building facilities on the island of Oahu. No one had ever heard of it.
36,000 feet up.
This was a headline 27 years ago tonight. Berlin ridicules rumor on army. Dispatch reporting that 580,000 youths of 20 will be called is branded as nonsense. But they would be called. They were there, in schools, apprentice bakers, linemen stringing telephone wires. They would be called, and so would we. Still, they didn't know, not yet, and neither did we. There is no instrument so precise as to tell us when the present slips into the past or when the future becomes manifest. They didn't know, and neither did we. So we played our songs and exulted in the slow ending of the time of famine. And as our kind always has, walked with confidence and a kind of splendid arrogance into each new dawn.